John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. We're going to pick up reading in verse number 35, okay? Actually, 34. Let's start with verse 34. Here's what's going on right here. Jesus has just kind of begun his ministry. He went to a place called Samaria, and that was kind of a place that Jewish folks didn't really go, okay? There was great animosity between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. You think it's bad between Berwick and Patterson? It was a whole nother level, okay? I mean, it was a whole nother level with the Jews and the Samaritans. Well, Jesus had an interaction with this lady from Samaria, and he just basically read her mail. I mean, he asked for some water, and next thing you know, he is speaking words of life into her. And he said, honey, if you really knew who I was, you would ask me for water, because I'd give you water and you'd never thirst again. And then next thing you know, the disciples are like, hey, where's Jesus? What's Jesus doing? Okay. And we pick up reading in verse number 34. Jesus was kind of teaching his disciples what this interaction with this lady was all about. Verse 34 says, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You see, they were all worried, did Jesus eat? Okay? Sound like some mamas in here, okay? Seth, your mama ever been worried, did that boy eat? Did that boy eat? Make sure they eat. Sister Valley, if we come over to your house, you're going to make sure we eat, right? Absolutely. That's important to her. That's important to people. Okay. Well, it was important to the disciples. But Jesus said, hey, look, you're worried about me catching some victuals. You're worried about me eating a meal. Don't worry about that. My meat, my focus is doing what the Father sent me to do, finishing his work. Here's the amazing thing about Jesus. He was always on point. He was always focused on the big picture. He always remembered what his purpose was in life. Now, guys, this is not my message this morning, but how many times do we get in trouble when we forget what our purpose in life is? How many times, JD, do we kind of lose our way when we forget what our purpose is here on earth? Our focus, our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to bless our families. Our purpose is to be a blessing to others. When we forget that purpose, we lose our way. I've heard it said one time that we lose our way because we lose our why. See, Jesus never lost his why. He always knew why he was here. He always knew how much time he had left. He always knew that what he was sent to do wasn't quite finished yet. And that's what he told his disciples. He said, hey, look, boys, I can eat later. What I'm focusing on is finishing my work. And what was the last thing he said on the cross? It is finished. When Jesus said it was finished, Sister Eloise, it was, okay? It was finished. He had done what he was supposed to do. Would to God that we would live our lives with such purpose, huh? Would to God that we could stay so focused on what God wants us to do. So, Jesus says, I'm here to do what the Father sent me to do, to finish his work. Verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he and the sower and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. So what in the world is Jesus talking about here? Three little points I want to bring out to you. The first thing Jesus was teaching his disciples when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to missions, when it comes to our purpose here on earth. By the way, in case you're wondering, the church exists to accomplish the Great Commission. The church exists for the benefit of others. You do realize that, huh? So many churches lose their way when their only focus becomes themselves. Do you know the church is the only organization that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not quite yet members of it? So when you become a member, Fabian, it's no longer about you. It's about others. As long as the church is other-focused, God can bless it abundantly. Why has God blessed us in the last year or so? Because I have tried my best to try to keep it other focused, to try to keep us focused on our community, to try to keep us focused on what God is calling us to do. Now, does that mean I don't care about you? No. I love you. I care about you. I'm your pastor. I want to meet your needs, but it's not an either or question. It's a both and. I want to care for you. I want to nurture you. I want to be there for you. But I also want us to keep our focus outside these four walls because, guys, the harvest is great. And you see, Jesus was trying to do the same thing with his disciples 2,000 years ago. They're all worried about him eating. They're all worried about him being taken care of. And that's good. But Jesus said, hey, boys, let's focus on what's really important. Okay? And the first thing Jesus did was he said, let's lose the excuses. What do you mean, lose the excuses? Let me read to you what he just said. He said to his disciples, say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. You see, that was a very common saying back in those days, okay? The Jewish people wouldn't get worked up about much. They were pretty laid back about things. And when somebody, Zach, was a little excited about things, they'd say, oh, there's still 4 months to harvest. You've got time. Relax. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, no, don't relax. Don't make up excuses. Realize that the harvest is now. I'm with you now. I'm here to empower you now. And Jesus would say the very same thing to Lighthouse Community Church this morning. Don't say, oh, we'll get to outreach after Christmas, or we'll get to it after this, or we'll get to it later on. No, no, no. Guys, now is the time to do something for God. How many realize that excuses are like armpits? Everybody got them, right? Some of you are going, where was the preacher going to go with that one? Okay. Chose armpits. And here's the thing. I chose that because you got two of them. I've met folks, baby, you ever met folks that had more than one excuse? Absolutely. Okay, man, they got excuses for everything. And normally they smell. Okay, so that's why excuses are like that. Guys, we can make up excuses for anything. Now, sometimes excuses are good. Okay, sometimes excuses are good. Let's say you want to go over to eat at somebody's house and they don't know how to cook. Okay, you maybe be making up an excuse not to go there is probably a good thing. Okay, now if Bernie and Annalie invite you over to cook, don't you make an excuse. You want to go there. Okay, but let's say a teenager invites you over to cook. No offense, teenagers, but for the most part, you guys can't cook real well. Okay, look, if Shana invites me over, I'm going. Okay, but if you say Cassidy cooked dinner, I might have an excuse. I'm surprised you didn't say you should. Okay, but you get the idea. Sometimes excuses are good. Okay, but guys, look. When it comes to doing the will of God, when it comes to accomplishing your purpose, we got to get rid of the excuses. We can't have any excuses. Think about it. Don't excuses frustrate you sometimes? You work with people all the time, don't you, Fabian? Don't you just get frustrated when, how about that new worker you put on the job and did you get to that? Well, no, and then he comes up with the excuses. It's like, save that for your mama, okay? Just do your job, right? Do what you're paid for. Do what you're supposed to do. Guys, don't you think sometimes Jesus thinks that way? Just do what you were supposed to do. Don't get caught up in all the frustrating stuff. Don't get caught up in all that little stuff that distracts us. Let's just focus on what we're supposed to focus on. So I think that's what Jesus was telling disciples, okay? So good. Good. I'm always glad when she says it's so good. She also knows when she says it's so good, I go a little shorter. So some of you are like, so good, so good. Okay? But we, so good. There we go. But we're supposed to lose the excuses. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Second thing we're supposed to do from this little scripture is we're supposed to see the harvest. Okay? See, Jesus said, don't say there's 4 months into harvest. Lift up your eyes. Okay? He's talking to his disciples. He said, boys, look up. Look on the fields, they are white unto harvest. Now, this is something I had never seen before, okay? Always think of harvest time, and there were some times I was in central Louisiana, and if you've ever seen a cotton field when it's harvest time, man, they've sprayed it, and all the leaves have fallen off, and it's just white. That's the picture I had in my mind. But that is not what Jesus was illustrating here. Do you remember what had happened at the beginning of this chapter? He met the Samaritan woman, right? That Samaritan woman realized that he was the Savior. He was the Messiah. She got her mail read by Jesus, and then Jesus sent her back into town to tell others about him. And what did she do? She said, come see this man that knows everything about me. Come meet this man that is the Messiah. So guess what? Jesus and his disciples were outside of town, and here come the Samaritans. Here comes the Samaritans in their customary white flowing robes, pouring out of that city is what I can picture. And Jesus said, boys, look up. Here comes the harvest. Guys, I'd never seen that before. Guys, how many times do we miss what God has for us because we're focused on the wrong things? How many times do we get so focused? And it's important things. What were the disciples focused on? They were focused on Jesus getting a meal. That's important. I mean, he's Jesus, okay? And we need to make sure we take care of the boss. That's a good thing. But Jesus said, boys, don't worry about me. Worry about them. And they picked their eyes up and they saw the harvest of souls that was coming in. Would to God that you and I would get our eyes off of the things that distract us and get our eyes on the harvest. Because guys, this community is ripe. Look, the economy is not great right now, okay? Times are not getting better. It's at times like this where people need hope. Where politicians aren't providing hope, okay? If anything, they're providing punchlines, okay? Folks are needing hope. Guys, you and I have the greatest hope that there ever was. We have hope in life eternal. We have hope in a Jesus, Blaine, that can do anything. What are you going through? Guys, Jesus is greater than what you're going through. Guys, we need to get our eyes off of what distracts us and get them back on the big picture. Jesus told his disciples, he said, boys, look up. Look at the harvest. So guys, we need to lose the excuses and we need to see the harvest. So what does that look like in your life? Man, next time you go to Walmart, just ask the Lord. And some of you go to Walmart way too often, okay? And every man said, amen, okay? But when you go to Walmart, ask the Lord to open your eyes. When you go to Rouse's, don't you love that meat department? Just, by the way, you can tell I'm hungry. That's good for you. It means I'm going to be short, okay? But when you go to Rouse's, ask the Lord to help you see the harvest. Guys, so many times we come in contact with people that if we would maybe just look for the opportunity, we'd have an opportunity to pray for them. We'd have an opportunity to speak a word of blessing over them. We'd have an opportunity just to minister to them. Guys, I'm not saying that if you're in high school, you jump up on your cafeteria table and say, thus saith the Lord. I mean, you'll be in Mr. Broussard's office so quick, okay? But what I am saying is love people. Reach out to people. Be open to do what the Lord tells you to do. You know, I have a good friend of mine. She's one of the greatest soul winners in this state. Her name is Sister Dorothy, and she works with the deaf people, works with senior adults, okay? And here's what this lady says. She goes from nursing home to nursing home, reaching people for Jesus, okay? Here's what she said. This little 90-year-old lady who cancer couldn't beat her. I mean, that's a tough little lady. But ain't she about that tall, okay? But here's what she says, her key to winning souls. I just do what he tells me to do. Now, guys, that's a lesson for all of us, isn't it? Whether you're 90 or whether you're 9, just do what he tells you to do. If we just begin to do that, how much better would our lives be? How much easier would our lives be? How much easier would things be in our family? Just do what he tells you to do. So not only do we need to lose the excuses. By the way, I hadn't even been using my notes. That's good for you. By the way, I'm not going to go back and hit anything I missed. Not only do we need to lose the excuses, but we need to see the harvest. Amen? Jesus told his disciples to look up and see the harvest. Man, what a picture of what God can do through you and me if we'll only be obedient. When Jesus said, look up, boys, look at all these Samaritans coming to hear me and to meet me. Think about it, guys. If we're just obedient, what can God do through us? Amen? God did it before, he can do it again. And here's the awesome thing, guys. You know who the harvest will be here in this area? The harvest will be your loved ones. The harvest will be your coworkers. The harvest will be your friends, your kids, and your grandkids. Sister Valley, you good with that? That's who the harvest is going to be when we lose the excuses and when we begin to see the harvest. And then finally, Jesus tells us to reap the harvest. Reap the harvest. Now, verses 36 through 38 tell of the blessings of getting involved in the harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Aren't you glad when you get paid? What's your favorite day at work? Payday, right? Is it Monday? No, it's payday. Okay? It's when you get paid. That's a good day. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he and the sower and the reaper rejoice together. Herein is the saying said, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, you entered into their labors. Okay? This kind of reminds me of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, let me read it to you real quick, verses 19 through 21. We were talking a little bit about this in Sunday school, Fabian. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust dust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust dust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, guys, when we reap the harvest, when we do what God is asking us to do, we're laying up treasures in heaven. There's a picture of rejoicing. There's a picture of sowing and reaping. Guys, I've got to tell you that all that we are reaping today is just not from our sowing. We are wrapping up a project that I'd love for you when you get a chance to go see. We're created what we call a hall of honor, okay? It's that little hallway. If you'll go to your left, and there's that door that goes to our offices, there's that little hall right there, and we put up pictures of all the pastors who've ever pastored this church. Guys, I do realize that some of the harvest that we are reaping today is not because of our sowing. It's because of many, many years of faithful sowing. It's for many, many years of faithful service to the Lord. We've got pictures of all the pastors, and it's kind of a little walk down memory lane. I saw some of you from Sunday school checking it out today. By the way, we're going to get a new picture of us. It was a few years ago. It was on a Disney cruise, but boy, we were skinny. I like that one, okay? But we're going to get one, and it's going to look current. But you're going to love those pictures. The picture that we got of Brother and Sister Harden is just amazing. I mean, they look so young. And you want to take a little walk down that aisle. Literally from the very first pastor back in 1956, Brother Crick, all the way to the present. So take a moment to walk through that. But when you walk through that, don't just look at the pictures. Think about sowing and reaping. Guys, many of them sowed many, many times. Sometimes it was like, is all this falling on deaf ear? Can any parents relate? Sometimes you're talking to that teenager and it feels like it's falling on deaf ear, right? But here's the deal, guys. There's power to that. They sowed all those years, and now today we're beginning to reap a blessing. Amen? And guys, we're going to continue to sow. Why? Because we want to continue to reap. We're going to continue to do those things because that's what Jesus told us to do. Amen? So how do we reap the blessing? How do we reap the harvest? Real, real simple. Three ways, and I'm almost done. We pray, we play, and we pay. I said that real quick. Let me say it again. We pray, we play, and we pay. I've got to give a little props to my good friend Russell Roseberry, who uses this little acronym all the time when talking about his prison ministry. But it's applicable for missions. Number one, we pray. We pray for the harvest. You see, your unsaved friends, our missionaries around the world, our church, our community, we're supposed to pray. When we come together on Monday nights, guys, we pray for our community. We pray for God to send workers. We pray for God to do great things. Why do we do those things? Because Jesus told us to do them. In fact, Jesus told us how to pray for the harvest. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 10. I want to show you. Luke chapter number 10. I shared it just a couple weeks ago at prayer. This is how we're supposed to pray for the harvest. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto the harvest. We're supposed to pray for more workers. We're supposed to pray for more workers in every area, okay? We have workers in every area right now, but we still need more. Pastor Ronnie, could you use some more help in youth? Absolutely, okay? Brother Seth, Brother Jeremy and Rangers, could we use a little more help back there? Absolutely. By the way, Brother Seth was an answer to prayer, okay? We were praying for more laborers. I was in there for Rangers because it was just a need that needed to be met. And then God spoke to your heart. We're so excited about that. Girls Ministry, Impact Girls Club. We have teachers, but Sister Karen, wouldn't it be nice to have a helper in each class? Absolutely. That would be ideal. We need to pray for more workers. Sister Sarah is in Kids Church today with 20 plus kids. She needs more helpers. We need to pray for that. Amen? That's how we're supposed to pray. What else are we supposed to do? We're supposed to play. Hey, I like this part. Tell me more. We're supposed to play or participate in the harvest. How do we do that, preacher? Mark chapter number 16 tells us about the importance of the harvest. Mark 16 and 15. The Bible says, and Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow, preacher, am I supposed to be a preacher? If God tells you to. But what you're supposed to do is go. You're supposed to go to people and love on them. You're supposed to go into your workplace and not have that crabby attitude on a Monday, but just ask the Lord to help you. Can I get a witness? Okay. By the way, I can remember when my attitude was a little crabby on Monday, so I'm going to cut you a little slack. But here's the deal. We're supposed to go and do and be a blessing to others. Go, act, do something. I love to say this. God blesses attempts. God blesses attempts. You know, I haven't pushed this in a little while, but we've got these little invite cards for our church. They're on the back little table. They're at the info desk. Pick up a few of these. Stick them in your wallet. Stick them in your purse. Stick them in your truck, okay? When you run into somebody, just work in the conversation. Hey, where do you and your family go to church? So many times the answer will be, well, we don't. Or it's been a long time. That's when you just give them this little card and say, I'd love you to be my guest. Just come to service. Guys, you realize some people, they're just waiting on an invitation. They're just waiting on somebody to invite them, okay? Guys, we won't bite. The roof won't cave in on anybody. You ever heard somebody say, man, I go to church, that roof might fall in on me. Well, it didn't fall in on me. It didn't fall in on JD. It won't fall in on you either, okay? We got a pretty strong roof. Gonna be okay. But invite people. Do it. Fabian, it didn't fall in on you, okay? Hey, look, I still run into people. Man, Fabian goes to your church, okay? Absolutely, praise God he goes to my church. Hey, guys, look, do something. God blesses attempts, okay? Remember what Sister Dorothy Scott says, one of the greatest soul winners in this. I'd love for you to meet her. She's like 4 foot nothing, okay? I do whatever the Lord tells me to do. If we could just do that, how much more effective would we be? And finally, we pay. Oh boy, I knew the preacher was going to talk about money. Yes, ministry costs money. Missions and outreach will cost us something, but the rewards are so worth it. Seeing lives changed here locally and having a part in what God is doing around the world. We get to partner with our missionaries. We get to partner. Last year, this church gave over $12,000 to missions. Last year was one of the toughest years this church has ever been through. Right, Brother Rick? Wasn't this one of the toughest years this past year this church ever been through? You still gave over $1,000 a month to missions. That tells me that there is something precious here. There's something special here, guys. This is just not me talking about missions. This is something you love and you appreciate. But the new people need to understand this is something we're serious about. Guys, we'll never give this little amount again, I promise you. Okay? Why? Because the future is bright. We're doing more. We're believing God for more. Amen? So guys, it costs money to do ministry. Since we're talking about money, let's see what Paul had to say about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm almost done. Some of you have been waiting to hear that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Paul's talking about offerings. He's talking about giving. Let's pick up reading in verse number 6. He's talking to the Corinthians. That was a church that he had helped establish. And he was teaching them right now that blessings follow giving. And here's what he said in verse number 6 of Corinthians chapter number 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So what's he saying right here? He's saying if you give sparingly, if you give grudgingly, if you don't give much, you're not going to get much in return. But if you give liberally, if you're a blessing to others, God will be a blessing to you. Verse 7, every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? God loves a cheerful giver. I'm not going to twist any arms. I don't do that. I just want you blessed. Verse 8, this is good, talking about blessings. And God is able, somebody say that, God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it, JD? Sounds like blessings, doesn't it? As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And then finally, verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Paul was talking to the Corinthians and he said, as you give to others, God will give back to you. As you bless others, if you had blessed my ministry, Paul the apostle, as you blessed me, you helped be a blessing to others. And the same God who provided that seed for you will give more to you. God will bless you. God will multiply blessings. The church at Corinth figured it out 2,000 years ago. The Senecas figured it out some 20 years ago. And you and I need to figure it out today. That God blesses those that give. God blesses those whose hearts are right toward him. Amen? Now let's bring it all back toward light for the lost. Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 11. Remember, Light for the Lost buys Bibles. It buys equipment for evangelism. Look at the power of what Light for the Lost can do. Isaiah 55, verse number 11. The prophet Isaiah is quoting the Lord when he says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing I send it to do." Guys, God's word is very powerful. It's the word of God that changed your life. Guys, when did you get saved? A preacher was preaching the word. I can't remember the message Brother Jerry Jett was preaching that Sunday that I came down and gave my heart to Jesus for the first time, but I know he just wasn't up here telling jokes. He's not that funny. Don't tell him that, okay? But he's not. But he was preaching the word, okay? Guys, last Sunday when a few folks got saved and rededicated their life, why did they do that? Well, because I preached the word. The word will never return void. So when we equip our missionaries with the powerful word of God, they will reap great results. Amen?